You know, great song by Muse. Look at these words. I've finally seen the light. I finally realized that I need to love. I mean, what a great message. And this is really what we're talking about today. And as we think about this, you know, one of the things that we were looking at a few moments ago that James was saying is that, hey, it's not enough to talk about it. It's not enough to teach about it. It's not enough to conference about it. It's not enough to intellectually assent to saying, you know, it's a good thing to love, to go make a difference in the world, to change climates. What James is saying is, hey, show me. Because actions speak louder than words. And so this morning, let's welcome our partners, a few of our mission partners that are coming up here this morning. Welcome, guys. You're going to hear through some of these stories, ways that this is happening through this place. You're going to get pictures of what this looks like here this morning and how climates are actually changing as a result of love coming out, of people saying, hey, I'm going to get busy, I'm going to get active, I'm going to not just talk about it, I'm going to do it. It's happening in our schools, it's happening in families who live in poverty, it's happening literally, as we're going to see in a few minutes, on the other side of the world. And so we've got Adejua and Darren and Linda here with us this morning. And Darren Heil is the director, CEO, leader, whatever you want to call it, of Youth Mentoring Initiative, which is an initiative here based in Fishers, but really is meeting the needs in surrounding communities for our students. I mean, it comes out of your heart as a former youth pastor to really come along students who need help in their lives, who maybe don't have the support around them, even in our community. A lot of kids that don't have that in our community. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how you're seeing it make a difference in our community here.
Yeah, Youth Mentoring Initiative, YMI, started 4 years ago. We simply partner with schools. And we send people in, like Adejua, into those schools during the day, during the school year, to mentor students. And when you're talking about climate, you know, my experience and what we've seen is that the climate for many of our youth in Hamilton County is really dark.
Mm-hmm. And it's raining all around us.
Raining all around them. There are a lot of kids who do not have hope, do not have people that are present in their lives. And so we simply partner with schools and we send people in to mentor those youth. You know, I was doing some research, and in a community, over 25 to 30 years, it costs that community about $500,000. And they spend that money on public assistance, health care, maybe even incarceration, when one of their own does not graduate high school.
So $500,000 for one individual?
Yes.
Per individual.
Now, if they graduate high school, over that same 25 to 30 years, that they end up contributing $500,000 in their community. So we have a very proactive approach to our mentoring. Mm-hmm. We'll start in fifth grade, mm-hmm. keep them on track, help them graduate, but at the same time put more adults in their lives to be present, mm-hmm. and for some kids to give them hope.
And this is something, you know, we think sometimes, you know, that everybody's family is just like our family. You know, we provide good support if that's how your family is. And yet we're talking kids in our community who don't have parents that are actively present, that maybe for various reasons just don't have the support, that go to the schools right here in our community. And Adejua is one of your mentors, and you've been doing this for about 2 years with the same group of boys. And Adejua, tell us a little bit about how through your investment of time, an hour and a half a week with these boys, how you're beginning to see the climate change, maybe some of your challenges. I know sometimes Adejua is my backdoor neighbor. He'll come over sometimes and be like, man, I don't know if I'm making a difference in these boys' lives. But what are you seeing? What's the climate of what you're seeing in these boys as you've been able to come alongside them for the last couple of years?
Let me say, first of all, boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
We are both in the groups. And when I started this a couple of years ago, I really didn't think I would bring anything to the table. Why should I be a mentor, you know, with the kind of life I've had and things that I've done wrong in my life? I found out over time that dealing with these kids that telling my story via prompts that Darren sends out to all of the mentors every week, give you a guideline of what the issue is going to be for that week. There could be more than one prompt. Following those, primarily using those to talk about life stories, my life story to them, listening to their stories, the issues they have. As Kurt mentioned, a lot of serious problems with a lot of these kids. I had one that was into drugs, another one that was into theft, a girl that was pregnant, had a baby while we were going through all these things. So I was able to relate to those things, not that all those things happened to me, by the way. but relate to them, the difficult things that happened in my life. And I think with when I started this a couple of years ago, I really didn't want to do it. Kurt talked to Darren, Darren talked to me, they put a connect there, and it was like, oh, it's not something I want to do. It's really been rewarding over the last couple of years, and I look forward to doing it again this year for my third year, and starting with a younger group of people. I think it was juniors and seniors over the last 2 years. This year we're going to start with freshmen and sophomores. It's going to give me the opportunity to talk with them over a longer period of time, hopefully, and have more of an impact on them. And the one story that I talked to Darren about was last year we were supposed to finish the YMI initiative on a certain week. School was going to go on for another week. I said my goodbyes, and they asked me if I would please come back the next week to meet with them again, rather than just sort of finishing the year. And that's the moment I knew that at least in some small way, we make an impact in their lives by mentoring. So if you guys can sign up and do this, it'll be wonderful. I wear this quite often. I let them know about Crosspoint and our community and the kinds of things that we do, and I think it's very special when you do it.
Awesome. Thank you, Adejuan, and thank you for being a part of that. So mentors is one of the greatest things you need. I mean, anybody can mentor, right?
Yes, you know, I'm talking to every single person in this room right now. If you have a life story, if you have life experience, you can mentor somebody. It's not rocket science. We simply train you in how to share your life story with someone else and to be present in that student's life. We have five schools. We were working with five schools last year and this year, all public schools, junior high and high school. And we would love for you to spend 60 to 90 minutes out of your week, either leave your office or leave your home, come to one of our schools and mentor a student. Because you talk about climate change, when you're present in the life of a student, it changes their life. So I'll be out there to talk to you if any questions you have.
Awesome. Let's hear for what's happening here. You know, this is one of those ways. You're going to have the opportunity. If this touches your heart, and you're like, man, I want to make a difference. I want to change the climate. Talk to Darren afterwards. You can mark it on your card. He'll be in touch with you. You know, another initiative that happens right out of here, you've been hearing about it for the last number of months, really, is the Bucket Project. And the Bucket Project is an initiative that began here at Crosspoint, and it really began, this is Linda Adejua, Adejua's wife. It just happens we have both of them on platform, because they're this kind of people that are pouring into their community. And Linda's kind of one of the founders of this, along with Crosspoint. There was a book that we use in our children's environments a few years ago called Have You Filled a Bucket Today? And it's based on this mentality of every day you carry a bucket around in life. Every single person does. And you're either a bucket filler, you're pouring into people's life, or you're a bucket depleter. You take from other people. And so, it's an initiative where we're trying to instill, and what Linda's been successful in doing is implementing this book and its message in the culture of the school she's been the principal of, to where students every day are thinking about, am I building into kids, or am I taking away from kids? In fact, earlier this year, she moved to a new school last year here in Hamilton Southeastern up at Durbin Elementary, and you're seeing some of the pictures of the painting project. Earlier this summer, when about 50 volunteers here from Crosspoint went in and painted the buckets all over the walls to create a culture of bucket filling so that you can carry this out. It also includes things like the meal box, Christmas in a box drive we're going to have coming up here at Christmas time, and you'll see some pictures on that, as well as the clothes drive that we're in the middle of right now. And so as you're looking at these pictures, Linda, help us understand, you know, these are simple, practical things that we're talking. We're not talking about going to the other side of the world, but things that are literally changing the culture in the school at IPS 96, our first school, and now at Durbin as we're partnering with both of these. How are you seeing this happen? How are you seeing the climate change in these places?
Well, I'm very lucky and blessed to have been a part of both of these schools, and they're on different sides of Indianapolis, but each one has struggles. And with 96, it was just, I was there for 4 years, and when we initiated this, teamed up together and did this, it was made such a difference within the parents' lives as far as the uniforms. There are several parents that would come in and they'd register, and you could just see the tension, the stress put on them. And then when I'd have to say, well, you know, we are a uniform school and you have to have uniforms, and I'd explain what it was, you could just tell that financially it was going to be a big burden on them. And I said, hey, we've got a clothes closet, and we have the community that donates it and everything. And the stress that just lifted off their chest, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Just so simple little things like that. the Christmas baskets.
Which are boxes, by the
way.
Yeah,
they're
not. Like 70-pound boxes of food, not a little like Christmas basket.
And many of you have been there to experience the joy. I have been honored and blessed to be able to see that, to see just the joy come from the families when you guys lift the big box into their trunk. They're like, whoa, you know, they expected just can of corn or something like that. But no, there's more to it than that. And then, you know, I left IPS 96 and had been there for so many years and was lucky to start another journey at Durbin Elementary. And, you know, though that it's in Hamilton County and we all think, oh, you know, we don't struggle. Darren is so right that there are so many families in our community that are struggling. And you guys, what you said, actions speak louder than words. You don't understand just those simple 4 days that you donated time to painting the buckets on the walls. Mm-hmm. The parents came in and during our ice cream social and they were like, whoa, you know, the building looks great and everything. And then we've initiated the bucket project or the program with the children. And one first grader, a parent called me and spoke to me about it. And she said, he came home and he said, Mom, we have to go home and or we have to go to the store and buy a bucket and buy these little colored cotton balls, and they're called warm fuzzies. And he said, every time you do something nice, we're going to put it in the bucket at home. And so he's initiated that at home as well. And she said, it's such an easy concept, and she was very grateful for that. And when you guys came out and helped us paint over the summer, it also initiated other organizations to come, because one of my teachers came up to me and she said, could we have our Bible group come and help do this service? And I said, absolutely. So just simple little things like that has initiated and everything that we're standing for, you know, just to bring the community together. It's just, it's fantastic, and we really appreciate everything you do.
You know, Linda's now up here at Durbin. There's a new principal at IPS 96. She sent me this email this week just thanking you. Here's what she said about the uniforms we're collecting right now. She picked them up last weekend. She said, it's because of you, Crosspoint, our children are walking proudly in the hallways and ready to learn. At IPS School 96, our families and children struggle to meet the everyday basic needs, which we take for granted. Our families are doing the absolute best to comply with the district dress code policy, while at the same time paying their rent, their mortgage, putting food on the table. She said, our clothes closet at IPS 96 has been a resource for many families to help eliminate the burden of dressing their students for success every day. We're able, with your generous, heart-filled donations, to provide many of our struggling families with the much-needed clothing for students. As one sixth-grade classroom wrote, it's not what you see on the outside that makes a person, but it's what's on the inside. She goes on to say, well, this statement is true. In today's society, students struggle with self-esteem and self-image and how they dress. In a perfect world, all the students would come with newly washed uniforms, but the reality is this does not happen. With your donations, many of our children are able to come to school feeling confident in their new clothing and ready to learn. And she goes on to talk about, she said, you know, the uniforms they receive at the clothes closet are sometimes the only clothes, new clothes, these students have all year long, two or three uniforms. And she says, as we talk with other schools and IPS, we are one of the very few that have the support of a partner like you to provide our families with the resource of new school uniforms. Let me tell you what, that's sad right there. That pulls at my heart when I realize that our partnership with this school is one of the only places where kids are getting uniforms. I mean, one of our dreams that it's not just at Durbin, that the Bucket Project isn't just at IPS 96, but it's going to begin to maybe feed into every school in our community, the greater Indy area, because of the generosity of people like this. You know, I sat this last week, and, you know, we listen to political platforms, and if you choose this platform, this is how the world's going to change, and if we stay with our current platform, let me tell you what, the platform that changes the culture and the climate of our world is the platform of love. And when Christians take responsibility to feed into places like our schools, and I think Jesus talked about putting clothes on people's back, didn't he? I mean, he talked about that. He said, if you see this, this is a way that you change the climate of the world. The climate of the world. And so thank you guys for what you're doing in creating a climate change in our culture around here. Now, again, if you're interested in being a part of these, there's bags in the back. You can take a bag. You can be a part of the Bucket Project. You can talk to Darren as well after service or mark that on your card. You know, forecasts are changed in people's lives when love is lived out through action instead of just words. And, you know, love can't stay there. When our hearts begin to get overwhelmed, which starts with God the Father saying, I can't just keep this here. I've got to express it. When we experience that, and then we begin to say, hey, I've got a responsibility to express this, our climate of our culture literally changes. In fact, sometimes I think we're guilty of reading the Bible this way. Take a look at John 3:16. Sometimes I think we've probably all heard this verse at one point or another. But I think sometimes we get the words wrong here, myself included. I think sometimes we read this and we say, well, God was so frustrated with the world. God so hated the world that he sent his son and condemned everybody to hell. And he was just so frustrated. So that's what he did, why he did what he did. That is not what this says, friends. Take a look at the operative word right here. For God so loved. For God so loved, there was something going on in God's heart at such a great level. There was something so welling up in the heart of God that it had to spill over and get sent out. It had to go into other places. And look at what it says. Let's walk this out right here. It says he did what? It got expressed through a relationship. He sent. He took action. His actions spoke louder than his words. He sent his one and only son, not into the world so they'd be condemned, but that through him the world would be saved. He loved. Through relationships, he loved. And if you don't hear anything else that's said here today, let me just let you know, God is for you. God is for people. God is for the world. Everything we see God doing in the world, restoring, redeeming, is because of a heart of love. This is it. I can't keep this stuff here. I've got to let it out. And so this is why some of the things that have been happening in Hunan, China as well are taking place. So help me welcome Angelo Brown to the platform, if you will. Angelo, about a year ago, sat here on this stage, and we prayed for you, Angelo. We commissioned you to Hunan, China. Angelo is a gourmet chef by trade, and it just really felt a pulling, a tugging on his heart to go and to make a difference in the world. And so he kind of began to explore what that looked like, and so synced up with a missions organization that really targeted Hunan, China. You'd been to China a couple times, and your heart had really kind of got bent that direction. And get this, he went to open up an Italian bistro named Angelo's Pizza Tattatoria in China, of all places. I mean, you ever wonder if other you know, like when you go to China, it's like you don't order Chinese food, you just order food, right? It's like that's their native stuff. So he goes to start an Italian bistro, but it really wasn't about the bistro. In China, it's a closed country to Christianity, to Jesus, to the message of Christ. And so one of the things that's happening over there is through this restaurant, Angelo created a place really for men to come in and to be employed to receive their dignity back, throwaways, people who maybe didn't, you know, who'd been forgotten, a place for them to be invested in, to be rescued off the streets, to work in this restaurant, and then through that to begin to experience the climate of generosity, a climate of grace. And so, Angelo, tell us a little bit about this young man up here in the right-hand corner and how you got to know him, what relationship formed as a result of this restaurant and what happened there.
Well, excuse me. In the picture there, we have Zoguan. Zoguan was one of my workers in the kitchen. He was actually my Chinese son.
And, Chinese son in 1 year.
Chinese son, exactly, in 1 year. And Zoguan was actually one of my youngest guys, and he was basically, I think since he was 16, he kind of was on his own. And his dad was in prison. And so Zoguan came to us, and he, just like so many other young Chinese guys, really didn't have any really visions or purpose for his life. And so Zoguan, he came and, you know, we taught. I spent my time trying to teach Zoguan how to cook, of course, and things like that. The purpose of the restaurant was not really about food, or it, you know, was one of the vehicles, but it really was about the lives of the young men. And we had guys that were former prisoners, migrant workers, and just some young guys who've been on their own, like even since they were 12 years of age. And it was an opportunity for them to come in and actually learn a skill and learn a trade, and then to go back out and actually also to change their lives. One of the things you learn about the Chinese is culture. Culture is everything. Culture, culture, culture. And that culture also lets them know that life doesn't get any better. It pretty much, this is it. If you have a bad card, this is the way it is. It's going to stay that way. There's no really hope that things can get better. And, you know, there are times, actually, I would talk to Zoguan, I'd say to him, So, Gwen, what is your dream or your hope for the future? How did you see your future? And he actually kind of really looked at me and actually in his broken English said, "This is it. There is no future. There is no hope. This is it." And you know, I'm like, how do you see yourself? The next step or something better? No, this was pretty much it. And it really hurt my heart to hear someone believe or think that this is as good as it gets. I mean, there is nothing else other than this. And trying to build that up in him, to show him, even through God's love, through conversation, just through, you know, what our communication, that this is not it. You know, that there is hope. There's hope in Christ. There's hope in life. And part of that is just kind of actually showing love and compassion. One of the major moments that I had with him was that because I ran this kitchen, I'm kind of a beast in the kitchen. I have a tendency to get a little bit high strung if the food's not done correctly. And so sometimes I would get frustrated with the guys, because one of the things about culture, Chinese culture, is when I ask you to do something, you say, "Yes, I will do that," knowing good and well, no, you don't plan on doing anything I tell you, but you say yes, but you mean no. And so, you know, we would go round and round about some of these things, and there was a certain point where about 3 days he wouldn't talk to me, and I would talk to him, and they do this kind of quick head turn shake very all the time. And so I'd say, "Are you not going to talk to me?" He's like, "No." And so for several days, I tried and tried, and I tried to let him know, and I've actually even shared actually in words that although, you know, we have conflicts with each other, you know, here, hopefully, if I have any type of conflict with anyone here, that is as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can come together, we can talk, we can communicate, and we can get past that, you know, and we can grow in that. But Chinese culture says that when you're in conflict with people, that pretty much severs the relationship. That means that once we've kind of come to blows, we no longer have a relationship. But what I was trying to teach him, and I even tried to teach all of my guys in the kitchen, is that although we come in conflict, that is not the end. That is not the end of our relationship. And I actually went to him, and he wasn't talking to him, and I put my arm on his shoulder, and I kind of, you know, touched the shoulder, and I said, "Zoguan, I know you're mad at me. I know you're not talking to me, but I still love you, and I'm here for you." And he stopped, and he looked me in the face, like with this bewildered look on his face, like, "What is this?" It was a foreign concept. It's kind of almost hard to imagine that something that simple is a foreign concept. But that we can be in conflict, we can not always see things eye to eye, but we can still love each other. I can still care for you, and want to help you in any way I can. I question sometimes the impact that I had while I was there, but I know in my heart that I went and I did the right thing. I answered the call. I feel conflicted in so many ways, but in one thing I do know that I did what God would have me to do, and impacting his life and anyone else's life along the way, I feel fortunate and blessed. And I want to thank Crosspoint. I want to thank each and every person here who prayed, who gave, who was a part of the team, the support team, and helped change his life, and so many of the other guys. That he's just one person, just one guy who was impacted by your generosity. And by us partnering together. So thank you so much for all you've done, guys. Thank
and
you.
And what's really, yeah, let's thank Angela. And what's really cool about that is in that relationship, as you show what it means to have a second chance, you reveal grace. You reveal what it means to restore with the Heavenly Father. So thank you, Angelo, for going and changing the culture. And thank you, Crosspoint, for investing in Angela.
Thank you, Crosspoint. Thank you.
See, this all begins. It all begins at the heart of God right here. And what's interesting is the way that God initially demonstrates this to the world right here. The very first thing God did to demonstrate his heart to the world, it wasn't in the crucifixion. We always think that. It wasn't in the resurrection. We always think that. You know where the very first place that God demonstrates how his heart's just overflowing? It's actually when he moved into the neighborhood. He actually moved in the neighborhood. In fact, there's a word for this. It says that Jesus came down and he dwelt among us. He took on flesh and blood and he dwelt among us. Now, if you go to Bible school or something, they use this really big word. It's called incarnation. But here's what this means. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 14, in the Message translation, here's how it comes out. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, meaning it moved into your neighborhood. It moved into my neighborhood. We saw the glory of God with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like the Father, like the Son. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish. I mean, can you imagine this? Can you imagine what it looks like? Can you imagine what it'd be like if in Fortville and McCordsville and LaPel and Pendleton and Ingalls and Anderson and Indianapolis and Carmel and all the surrounding communities that people that drive into this community every weekend, if people in their neighborhood would say, man, when they moved into the neighborhood, we saw the glory of God. It's like we saw the Father because they became my neighbors. It's like we saw the Son and we saw the glory of God through their lives because they listened to us, because they served us, because they ate and dined and drank with us, because they became a part of our lives. It's like we experienced the Father. This is when it happened. Jesus says, when I come and my heart spills over into your life, he says, it's like I move into your neighborhood. He says, this is where climates change, when actions speak louder than words. Now, we've got something really cool coming up. 2 weeks from today, we're beginning a new series called Backyard Gospel. And we're gonna be talking for 4 weeks. We're gonna be taking a look at just what it means to share the good news. You know, good news is the message of Christ. And you know what's interesting about good news is when you have good news, when I get good news, I can't wait to tell people about it. When I've got a great auto mechanic, I can't wait to tell my friends about how great he is, how much money he saves me. That's good news. It's good news. We're gonna be talking about what it means to listen, to serve, to be the kind of people that help our neighbors, our neighborhood, see the Father, see the Son. Our lives. In fact, we've got a really cool initiative coming up. We've been doing these backyard parties all summer long, the summer party series here at Cross Point called Chillin' Grills. And these have been a huge hit. Many of you have been attending these over the last few months, and we've been providing three or four sites every round for you to attend and connect with other people from Cross Point. Here's what's going to be cool about this next one. This party's coming to your neighborhood now. Instead of us giving you a site, we want to empower any home, any family, any group of neighbors from Cross Point that want to throw a barbecue for your neighborhood. We're going to give you the meat. We're going to give you the dogs, the burgers, the buns, the table service for you to have a block party in your neighborhood. So Jesus can come into your neighborhood. So you can connect, you can dine, you can listen, you can invite your friends, ask them to bring something to share and put it on the table and just have a party. And when they say, why would you do this? Say, hey, because we just want to serve. We want to love our community. This is faith in action right here. This is where actions speak a lot louder than the words that we share. So we've got a lot of walkout points today. One of the things we do at Crosspoint every week is we give you some walkout points. What's my next step today? So I want to ask you to take out your connection card. Eric asked you to fill this out earlier this morning. On the back side are some next steps. And these are just some tangible ways that you can connect with some of the things you've heard from this platform today. Some of the ways that the initiatives are happening all around and out of this place in our greater community, even around the world, and how you can be a part of putting your love into action. You know, maybe this week you're going to take a bag at the back door and buy a school uniform. Let me tell you what, Jesus was very clear, clothe those who don't have clothes. Great opportunity to make a difference in the life of a student. My dream is that this expands to multiple schools, maybe even the whole district in IPS eventually. You know, if you're interested in being a mentor, being involved in the life of a student, you have a story, a life story, you know, mark that on your card. We'll have Darren follow up with you. Talk to him at Connection Point after service today. You know, if your heart's just been tugged or pulled at some point and you feel like, man, there's a skill or gift I have that could meet a need in our world, but I don't really know how or what it looks like to maybe go there for a period of time, to become a temporary missionary to a place, mark that on your card. We'd love to have Angelo talk to you this week. You know, he'll email you and get a time for you to just kind of share what's on your heart and how you might be able to live this out. If you're interested in bringing God into your neighborhood and just throwing a party for your neighbors, mark that on your cards. We'll resource you to have a chillin' grill. And God will move in ways beyond what you will begin to imagine. So as you're marking your cards, you might have a step beyond this, but the point is climates change when action speaks louder than words. So we're going to sing a song that talks about how God has a plan. God has a plan. When our cause, when our lives align with his, God, amazing things happen. The journey is wild. It's great. And God wants to continue to take us on that. So mark your cards and we're going to sing together.